ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो 15th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 30
ऑफ द किंगडम ऑफ गॉड तान दीक्षा बाता रशनां चतुरः कुमारान वृद्धान दशार्धा वयसो विदितात्मा तत्वान देत्रेण चाक्षालयतां अतद अर्हनां तौ तेज विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूल शीलौ
तं विक्षवातरशनं चतुरकुमारान् वृद्धान दशार्ध वयसो विदितात्म तत्वान देत्रेन चक्ष वेत्रेन चाश्खलयतां अतद अर्हनां तौ तेज विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूलशीलौ तान् विक्षवातरसनां चतुरकुमारान् वृद्धान् दशार्धवयसो विततात्मतत्त्वान् वृद्धान दशार्ध वयसो विदितात्म तत्वान वेत्रेन चाश्खलयतां अतद अर्हनां स्तौ तेजो विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूलशीलो तान् विक्षवातरशनां चतुरकुमारान् वृद्धान् दशार्धवयसो विदितात्मतत्त्वान् वेत्रेण चाश्खलयताम् अतदर्हनां स्तौ तेज विहस्य भगवत् प्रतिकूलशीलौ
No one has ever been able to defeat me. And you, who are you that you are thinking that you will be able to defeat me? So this way there is an exchange of chivalry between Krishna and his devotees. But in Vaikuntha, everyone knows Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one ever dares to challenge the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a fight. So this Dhira Ras is not experienced in Vaikuntha by the Lord, by Narayan. So Joy and Vijay at one point felt that what a pity, the Lord cannot experience that mellow of chivalry. It would have been so nice if we could have given him the taste of that mellow, even if we could allow him to experience that mellow. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all cognizant. He knows the desire of everyone. So he knew how Joy and Vijay desired to give him a good fight. But unfortunately, in Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha, this mellow couldn't be experienced, because it will be totally inappropriate for anyone to fight with the Lord in Vaikuntha. Actually, Rupa Goswami, in the Dakshin Vibhag, in the Uttar Vibhag, in the last chapter of Nectar of Devotion, is explaining that some mellows are not compatible to some other mellows. Like Shanta and Dasya, like in neutrality and in servitorship, a certain mellows are not compatible to that mood. And one of them is to servitorship, is Birarash, or mellow of chivalry. In Shantarash and also in Dasyarash, these mellow is not compatible. Actually, Rupa Goswami describes as the mellows that are friendly and the mellows that are enemical. So to Shantarash and Dasyarash, Birarash is enemical. So it doesn't fit. Therefore, in Vaikuntha, this Birarash is absent, because the mood of Vaikuntha is Dasya. Everyone in Vaikuntha, including even Lakshmi Devi, renders service to Narayan in a mood of servitorship, as a maid servant. So, Krishna, in order to fulfill the desire of his devotees, Joy and Vijay, had to make some special arrangements. And he had to actually make them come down to the earth planet. And the arrangement was made in this way. These four Kumaras came, and Joy and Vijay obstructed their ways, and as a result of that, the four Kumaras cursed, and as a result of their curse, they fell down. But this is an apparent reason. Actually, the position of the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha are far superior to the position of the four Kumaras. So they are not in a position to curse the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. But it was by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna always protects his devotees, and never ever any inauspiciousness can befall a devotee. So the Vaikuntha Vasis, like Joy and Vijay, who are engaged in direct loving service, direct devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they being cursed was actually a divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of God. And it took place in this way. And as a result of that, anyway, before that, we can also consider the position that who are these four Kumaras. These four Kumaras are the four sons of Brahma. Brahma, when he realized his responsibility, that he was here to manifest this material universe for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahma wanted some assistance. and from his mind he produced four sons. They are known as Manashaputra, or the sons born out of mind. So Brahma then asked his four sons, these four Kumaras, to help him in his responsibility to engineer the universe. But these four Kumaras, who are situated in spiritual knowledge or Brahma Gyan, they were not interested in getting involved in materialistic activities. They were self-realized souls from the time of their appearance. And they knew how entangling this material nature is. So they didn't want to get involved in this material nature. So they refused Brahma's offer and told Brahma, please forgive us, we are not interested. And at that time, Brahma became angry, thinking that these are my sons and I am their father and they are disobeying my instructions. So Brahma felt anger. And then, immediately after that, Brahma felt, after all, they are my children and I am their father, therefore I shouldn't get angry with them because my anger will be inappropriate. So Brahma then controlled his anger. But although he controlled his anger came out from between his eyebrows, from the center of his forehead. And the anger was personified in the form of Rudra. And so this is how, in the beginning, first the four Kumaras were born and then Rudra was born. So in this sense, in that sense, both, or rather all the Kumaras and Rudra, Lord Shiva, are sons of Brahma. And these four Kumaras, from the very beginning of their appearance on this planet, they were absorbed in transcendental knowledge or transcendental absorption. They were absorbed in transcendental meditation. But they, in the beginning, were impersonalists. And since they are brahmacharis, since they are Naishtika brahmacharis, Naishtika brahmachari means those who are brahmacharis from the time of their birth. Their appearance did not change. From the beginning of their appearance, they were brahmacharis, Naishtika brahmacharis. Therefore, their appearance is just like 5-year-old children. So the Gurukul boys can leave. You have to take your breakfast and get ready for the class. So Brahma then, these four Kumaras in this way did not actually change their appearance. They were just like 4-year-old and 5-year-old children. And although they were, here it has been mentioned that they were the oldest person. Brahma is of course the oldest, but the next oldest personalities are these four Kumaras. But still they look like 5-year-old children. And their behavior is also like children. They move around stark naked. Vito Roshanan. I'm sorry, Bato Roshanan. The Bato Roshanan, Bato means Shito Atoko Bato Gorishana. Bato means air. And air is their garment. So what does this mean? that they don't wear anything. They are wearing only air. Air is their garment. Sometimes, actually Sanskrit language is very poetic and very profound. So here, instead of calling them naked, it has been said, those whose garments are air or atmosphere. Another expression for naked is digambar. Ambar means direction or sky. Ambar means sky. So sky is there. Dig means the direction are their covering. Directions are their garment. So that means they're open in all directions. In this way we can see how civilized this Vedic culture is. How profoundly civilized this culture was. They would not use any inappropriate word or vulgar word. We can see also in our day-to-day experience that more cultured one is, the more refined is his expression. And more uncouth one is, more vulgar is his expression. So, like it's very obvious in the West, the factory workers speak in certain ways and university students speak in another way. So, in the Vedic culture, they would not use any vulgar expression. So they would, therefore their expressions were in this way. They expressed themselves in ways like that, Bato Rashanan or Digambar, etc. So instead of calling them naked. So these four boys were naked, and their behavior in other aspects also were like very much like young children, just like 4-5 year boys. Like the 4-5 year boys don't have any sense of shame. They feel completely okay being naked, and no one minds it. But when someone is old, then he becomes embarrassed to behave like that, and others also feel that is inappropriate. But although these four Kumaras were the oldest personalities, but their behavior was completely innocent. That's another consideration, that in order to be a proper brahmachari, one has to be innocent. Unless one has that innocence, he can't become a brahmachari. And that innocence is not out of ignorance, but this innocence is out of knowledge. Being situated in proper knowledge, one becomes like unperturbed by the allurements of the material nature. And it has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as the duality of material nature, caused by the influence of mind, which is the center of all our senses. Doite bhadra bhadra gyan shabi mono dharma. Ei bhalo, ei mando, dui hai bhrama. Both are, so this duality of good and bad is actually caused by our mental concoction, mono dharma. The concept of good and bad, both are actually a mistaken concept. Because in the absolute platform, it's all absolutely good and there is nothing bad. In the absolute platform, everything is good and there is no bad. But in the material platform, everything is bad. But there is a concept that good, the concept of good in the material platform, or duality of good and bad, is simply caused by mind. But in the absolute reality, everything is absolutely good. And absolute reality means the reality with Krishna in the center. So whenever we accept Krishna as the center, then everything becomes all auspicious or all good. So these personalities being situated in that absolute platform did not have any consideration of duality of this material. So they were completely untouched by the duality. But still, the four Kumaras in the beginning were not situated in the platform of devotional service. They were Brahmagyanis. They were situated in transcendental knowledge of non-duality, or they were situated in Brahmagyanis. It has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam how when the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha and smelt the tulasis offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, they became attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus they became devotees. So these four Kumaras, also we can see that personalities who are situated in Brahman realization in this way cannot also get angry. Generally, a person situated in that kind of elevated platform does not get anger, does not get angry. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad and matsarjo, the six enemies of a living entity are material, are on the material platform. But those who are situated on the platform transcendental to the material nature cannot become influenced by kaam, krodha, lobha, moha and matsarjo. Lust, greed, anger, pride, envy and illusion. So one cannot become influenced by these six enemies, Shadoripu. Therefore, we have to understand that this incident is simply arranged by the Supreme Personality of God. In one hand, the four Kumaras shouldn't get angry and curse. And on the other hand, the joy and Vijay, who are the residents of Vaikuntha, who are the Lord's devotees, otherwise how could they go to the Vaikuntha platform? And the devotees who are always being protected by the Lord, even if there is some mistake in their behavior, are not subject to being hurt. So here, in this way, because the Lord always gives protection to his devotees. Therefore, we have to understand that this is the arrangement of Lord's internal potency or Yoga Maya. This cursing business and getting angry, these are all transcendental. And devotees act according to the Lord's direction. The devotees or personalities surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they simply become puppets in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they just behave in a way, the way the Lord wants them to be. If Krishna says, okay, you do like this, they just act like that. Krishna says, okay, now you do like this, they act like that. So it was by Krishna's arrangement that the Vaikuntha Vasis, Joy and Vijaya, obstructed the ways of four Kumaras, thinking that they were unqualified to enter into Vaikuntha in this way, just wearing air as their garment. And the four Kumaras also got angry and gave a curse, the joy, curse Joy and Vijaya. But in this way we can see ultimately it was all auspicious. Ultimately it was all auspicious, especially for Joy and Vijaya, because this curse was not actually a curse. This curse, so-called curse from the Kumaras, were actually a means to facilitate them to render some service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in certain specific ways. And as a result of the curse, Joy and Vijay had to come down as great demons. First they came as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in Sapta Yuga, then in Treta Yuga they appeared as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then in Dwapar Yuga they again appeared as Nityananda Prabhu's divine body, the body which is so dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I inflicted pain in that body and made blood to ooze out of that body. So he was constantly crying. Now, should we become inimical even to attain that goal? No. On the other hand, our position should be to follow the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, Shantanu Goswami and our Acharya. And their mood always had been very, very prejudiced. They never ever harbored any animosity towards the Supreme Personality of God. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, even before they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were lamenting, when shall we ever be able to get the mercy of that great personality? And when they heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, they were literally banging their heads against the wall and crying, thinking that they will never be able to see him again. And then as soon as they met Mahaprabhu, their material life was finished. They left everything, although their position was very, very aristocratic. They left everything and became just in a mandatory. So now, if we are left with a choice, who to follow? Who should we follow? Right? Yes? The residents of Vaikuntha? No. Most of them don't. Yeah. They think that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. And they think that Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is an earthly pastime. They don't have the understanding that this pastime is actually a projection from the topmost region of the spiritual sky. They think that Vaikuntha is the highest. See, jar jei rosh hoy, shei sarbottam. It's a divine arrangement, or most expert arrangement of Krishna, that whoever is situated in whichever mellow, he thinks that that's the highest. The one who is situated in Shantarash, he thinks Shantarash is the highest. Similarly, Dasya, Shakta, Vatsala and Madhu. And there is no such competition that, well, now I am in Dasya, this is not good enough, now let me try to at least attain Shakta-Rash. No. They don't have that kind of feeling. They feel that whatever my mellow is, that's perfect. Like, for example, a tree in Vrindavan is perfectly situated, thinking that I am in the most exalted position. My position is the highest. In his own way, he's thinking, what to speak of a tree? Even a pillow that in Krishna's bed thinks that I am perfectly situated. Just that I am sitting on Krishna's head, that only at times there is a description, only at times the pillow feels some sort of discontentment. He says, I always stay on Krishna's head and I never get a chance to serve his lotus feet. So this kind of discontentment may be there. And also sometimes the gopis who are situated on the highest platform, and they think, oh, how fortunate the pillow is. It's always in contact with Krishna. Whereas we have to make so many different endeavors to even come close to Krishna. The gopis virtually express their envy towards the flute of Krishna. who is actually situated in Shantara. Actually, in Vrindavan, there is no Shantara. The flute also is actually situated in Shakhara. Or you can also say Madhur Rasa. Chidanandam, Vamshi Priya Shakti. Vamshi is a Priya Shakti. Flute is a Sakhi of Krishna. And they actually envy, thinking that how fortunate the flute is. So in this way, in the spiritual realm, the inferior doesn't envy the superior. On the other hand, there is some sort of envy from the superior towards the inferior. And also, I'll just make another point, that as you asked whether in Vaikuntha they know about Vrindavan, and to justify my answer, no, I will quote Sanatana Goswami's statement in Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. When Gop Kumar, the cowherd boy, who was actually elevated to Vaikuntha and was directly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he met Narad Muni, when Narad Muni met him and asked him, in Vaikuntha there is no anxiety. There shouldn't be any anxiety and there is no lamentation. But how come you look so moral? Like in Vaikuntha everyone is blissful, but you are not so blissful, what's the matter? And then Gop Kumar told Narad Muni, actually, you see, although I am so fortunate to have direct association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be an object of his affection, but still my heart is hankering for someone who is a cowherd boy. And he started to describe him, whose complexion is like a monsoon cloud, and who plays flute, and who plays in the forest on the bank of a river, and tends tends the cows. Then Narad Muni hushed him up, said, "Quiet, quiet, don't speak about it." So Narad Muni didn't want anyone else in Vaikuntha to hear about Vrindavan. But this boy was qualified because he had his natural attraction for Krishna. He was not satisfied in Vaikuntha, and that's what is going to happen to our devotees. The ISKCON devotees, even if they are elevated to Vaikuntha, they won't be satisfied. Until they reach Golok Navadvip, they will not be satisfied. Yes, Dhananjaya sir.
Now we understand that in Goloka that Krishna's eternal pastimes are going on, the dark boys, the donkeys, and the bees, and the floods, and the rivers, and the trees, and so on. Then there's also, in Abhidhamma, Mayapur Dham is also a time when all the pastimes are going on, the Vajrasangh Mahaprabhu is going on, and all the associates. And we also understand that we should always consider humility as the most important prerequisite for actually developing pure love of God. So we read all the time in all the different prayers that Narottam Das Chakravarti, I am the most fallen, and I am picked up, and Bhaktam Thakur also writes, I am the most fallen, like this, and let me take birth as a dog in the family of Vaishnavas, and so on and so forth. But if we're really, really fallen, and we're praying all this, you know, for the dust of the Buddhist feet of the Vaishnavas and the Sampradaya, if we're really genuinely fallen, is there more likelihood that we'll go to Navadvipa in Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka? Or, what is the distinction between those associates who go to eternally engage in eternal pastimes in Bodhisattva? Is it because they are really the most fallen? Does Bodhisattva is known as Pratita Pavana? Or is there, what is the distinction between engaging in Krishna's eternal pastimes and Bodhisattva's eternal pastimes in Goloka? Do we really have to be super fallen to get the mercy of Bodhisattva? Or if we're not so fallen, do we go to Krishna?
You see, at least in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality and Sankirtan is the means for elevation to the spiritual side. And those who are attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan movement, through his Sankirtan movement, when they attain perfection, they will go back to Navadvipa, Golok Navadvipa, because that is their basic mood. But, and Prabhupada explained that to be situated in Golok Navadvipa already includes Golok Vrindavan. Devotees of Golok Navadvipa have the access to Golok Vrindavan.
They're more fortunate.
In that sense.
In,
well, again, Krishna Sakhis and Sakhas are also in Navadvipa, right? When Krishna came, his associates also came with him. And they are also, their expansions are also there in Golok Navadvipa. And now another consideration is, you see, again, Sanatana Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Parikshit Maharaj is explaining to his mother, Uttara, just before leaving the planet. He's explaining that there are two different ways of attaining perfection or liberation. One is called Shabda Mukti and the other is called Krama Mukti. Shabda Mukti is immediate transfer, right? Leaving the body and just, you know, going back to Golok Vrindavan or Golok Navadvipa. But Krama Mukti is gradual. Actually, what he explained in his second part of his Brihat Bhagavatamrita is a Krama Mukti. Gradually, one is elevating. So, this gradual elevation will take him to where he actually belongs to. If someone, you see, like the gradual elevation, if say for example someone is in Vrindavan, someone's situation is in Vrindavan, original situation. So gradually he may go through the heavenly planets all the way up to Brahmaloka. From Brahmaloka he'll come back to the earth planet, to Vrindavan or Navadvipa, and then get out of the earth, get out of this universe, and then go through the layers of the the layers of the coverings of the universe, then Brahma Jyoti, abode of Lord Shiva, Vaikuntha, and then he will go to Dwarka. But in Dwarka, he will feel discontentment. Even in Dwarka, in spite of getting the association of Krishna, he will not feel satisfied. So then he will come back to Vrindavan, home of Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan. And in this Vrindavan, developing, you know, proper relationship, attachment to Krishna. And Prabhupada also explains in Krishna book that when the person, ultimately what happens is that he gets the chance to participate in Krishna's bhoma pastime. And thus, you know, clearing out or polishing up all his rough edges, participating in Krishna's pastime, he goes back to Golok Vrindavan. Enters into Krishna's Nitya Leela, eternal pastime. Prabhupada gave the example of the gopis who couldn't leave their husband. The gopis who were locked up by their husband. Their doors were locked and they couldn't go. In spite of hearing Krishna's flute, they couldn't go to Krishna's Rasa Leela because their door was locked. So they left their bodies. And leaving their so-called material bodies, they attain their spiritual body and participate in Krishna's eternal pastime. Yes, can you? Yeah, very good. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime has two aspects, appearance has two reasons. One is the external reason, the other is the internal reason. The external reason is Yuga Dharma Pravartan, propagation or establishing the Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan. But the internal reason of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is to relish the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So in Golok Navadvipa, they are actually experiencing that internal, they relish the internal mela, the internal mellow of understanding or relishing Radha Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. They are always talking about Radha Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. And while they talk, they preach, right? Like those who are devotees of Krishna, they always derive pleasure by Pathayantascha Mang Nittam Tushanti Cha Ramantu. The devotees of Krishna, they always talk about Krishna. And this is how they experience their joy. So that's what they do in Golok Navadvipa. They experience the greatest joy constantly talking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Yes, you had a question. Joy and Vijay. Yeah. So what actually happens is they become influenced by Yoga Maya. And being influenced by Yoga Maya, they kind of they forget. This is not the influence of Mahamaya. But being influenced by Yoga Maya, they forget about Krishna's position so that they can play the role perfectly. Because if the remembrance was there, then they couldn't actually, then immediately awe and reverence would cover this mood of chivalry. Yes. Mahamaya that binds one to this material nature. Mahamaya, through two potencies known as Avodanatmika Shakti and Vikshepatmika Shakti, take the living entities away from Krishna. So the Vikshepatmika Shakti, Maya, Mahamaya, throws the living entity away from Krishna into the material nature. And through the Avodanatmika Shakti, it covers and plunges him into total forgetfulness and darkness. Whereas Yoga Maya takes one to Krishna. Yeah, Yoga Maya is Krishna's. Yeah, they are Mahamaya. They are Mahamaya. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. There is. Fine. Should I explain now? Okay. See. Yes. Yoga Maya's manifestation in this material nature is called Mahamaya. It is the same Maya. Daivi Jesha Gunamai Mamo Maya Durasaya. Right? So it is Krishna's Maya. And Krishna's Maya is Yoga Maya. But when that Maya Shakti of Krishna acts on the material nature, then it is called Mahamaya. The example can be given. This is a police. It is a police. But to a thief, a police is a very, very frightening object. But when someone goes to meet the president of the country, then it is the same policeman who escorts him to the president. Right? Or similarly, it's the same Maya. But those who are conditioned, those who are inimical to Krishna, Mahamaya with a trident, Trishul, gives them Tritap Dukkha, threefold misery. But when one surrenders unto Krishna and becomes his devotee, then the same Maya takes him by his hand and takes him to Krishna. Right? Okay. Yes, Krishna says, the Mame Vajya Prapadante, Maya Metang Saranti.
So I cannot go to Yoga Maya. You might go to
right.
Lotus Feet.
Krishna's lotus feet, then Yoga Maya will come and escort you. Right? The same policeman, you don't have to go to the police. If you apply to the governor to see him, then the same police, you don't have to go to the police. The governor, when he gives you the permission, okay, you can come and see me. Then the police who is standing at his door, okay, he'll say, oh, you're Mr. So-and-so, please come. And he escorts you to the governor. Sharad Dhamma? No, from Brahmalok, he comes back to the earth planet. Navadvip Vrindavan. Or can be any dham, Jagannath Puri also. No, because he is coming from Dwarka, spiritual Dwarka, he is liberated soul. So what he does in Vrindavan, he performs Sankirtan, that he calls out to Krishna in great with great yearning. Because that is the main qualification to go back to Vrindavan. So by Sankirtan, by calling out to Krishna, crying for Krishna in great yearning, his heart becomes suitable, or rather he becomes qualified to enter into Vrindavan. And then he is transferred to Golok Vrindavan. Of course, fall down, no. No, he is a liberated soul, just came to just make the final arrangement to go back to him. Yes,
what is the deciding factor then? Because you mentioned that there's two ways to go back to Golok. There's this complicated way and there's a straight there. So what is the deciding factor?
Yeah, our desire. If a living entity has desires, other desires, clouding his, vision to Golok Vrindavan, or clouding his attachment to Krishna, then Krishna will fulfill his desires, right? And then finally make him qualified to enter. But those who have become free from all those desires, then he will attain Shabda Mukti.
Instantaneously.
But of course, ultimate consideration again, as Prabhupada mentioned, is Kripa. Now, everything in spiritual life is based upon Kripa, mercy. You see, this was not actually from Prabhupada, but this was from one of Prabhupada's god brothers, Babaji Maharaj. One day he was explaining to me the importance of sadhana. He was saying that the purpose of sadhana is simply to realize that by sadhana you cannot go back to the spiritual life. But that doesn't mean that we should make sadhana. We must make the sadhana to come to that point, to realize that only by sadhana we cannot get. The kripa is the main consideration. And bina mahat pada rajobhisheka, as Prahlad Maharaj said, that one cannot actually attain the mercy of the Lord without being coronated or without being abhishikta, without being bathed with the dust from the lotus feet of the divine. So ultimately it's all mercy cases. It's all mercy. Without mercy there is no question of making any spiritual difference. And another reason behind sadhana is to come to the platform of anartha nivritti and nishtha. Become fixed up. Because the anarthas are there. To free ourselves from the anartha, we have to do the sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. Right. Very good point. Because you see, like roti or Krishna, attachment to Krishna, or you know, the ecstatic relationship with Krishna has two considerations. One is the object and the other is the container. Right? That's called alamban. The alamban has two aspects, vishay and ashray. Vishay is Krishna and ashray is devotee. Now an ashray has been described as a pot which is containing devotion. Now, you see, a devotee as a container has to become qualified and seal all the holes. Right? First of all, it has to open the lid and so that the mercy can fall. And once the mercy falls, then he has to take care that there is no hole to drain the thing out. So when he does that, he opens the lid and opens his heart to receive it and makes sure that there is no aparad. Aparad is the biggest wastage of Krishna's mercy. So, you know, stops offenses in one hand and opens his heart to receive Krishna's mercy. Then only he can attain that. I think I have to stop now. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.